It's okay. Oh, sure. Yeah. If we can get every, yes. If you want to do it with your phone and just send it to me too, that would be great.
We're putting out the fires now.
Oh, that's fine, dude. I, yep. Whatever.
It's so dirty and so happy at the same time.
I should make sure. Can I hold that for a second? I just want to make sure that this is not going to, no, we're good. Okay. So I'm recording on my phone over there too, so usually it's pretty good, but I wanted to make sure.
It's something that you like find out what Nicole did.
Yeah. I've done it at all the events so far, and I need to, is it gonna stop from clipping? Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'll go to our YouTube.
So we could do it at, or yeah, just record it on your phone and then we can, or whatever, it doesn't, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know how to do that?
That way, so I just do it as a video, then share the file.
Oh, sure. You. Yeah, go ahead, do that.
Okay, perfect.
But we should. It'd be nice to have a, we could do it at the end of the presentation too.
Okay, that would,
just don't let me forget.
Okay.
Come up and yeah. I had one presentation at the Washington event I went to.
Uh-huh.
Nobody showed up. Not a single person.
Are you serious?
Yep. But Paul, you know Paul Wheaton?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had one that nobody showed up to too. He was not impressed. Me, I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's perfect. You gotta put in your reps, you know what I mean, to get good at it. And,
yeah.
But Paul, I was like, geez. I mean, they paid him good dollars to be there. And
were they like busy with vendors?
No, it was the wrong crowd. I think they didn't read the crowd right. They didn't know who, I don't know if they knew who their audience was, because the mushroom lady just packed. So he was good on the second day, but everybody went to her the first day and not to Paul, so.
Right, well, here we go.
All right, folks, here we go. Please welcome to the stage my friend all the way from the frozen tundra of Alberta, Canada, Toolman Tim.
Thank you, brother. Did I hear a boo out there?
No, I said woo.
No, I'm pretty sure that was a boo. All right, I'm just making sure. You got a cowboy hat on. I didn't want to insult you one bit. So how's everybody's weekend been so far? Okay, I heard two people. Good, all right. Oh, hang on. We're going to start over like nothing ever happened here because we didn't have a camera going. My camera's going right over there. So, all good? You want me to wait a second? No, hablé anglais? I don't know. Yeah. So everybody wanted to know how can you tell I'm from Canada? And I guess everybody said it's because I believe your husband met me going to the porta potty this morning in shorts. So, I didn't know that made me Canadian, but apparently it does. So, garage. Garage, there you go. So we'll get all the words out of the way before we start. So every time I say out and about, you guys can laugh and chuckle to yourself and make fun of me a little bit. And sorry, yes, I don't apologize for anything. That's just what I do. So, and the best one is, you know those things that run along the side of your house that your water runs in? Yeah, where I grew up, we called them eavesdroth, but they're gutters. So I had to eliminate that completely because what would happen is I would start my presentation and everybody would just check out because they're like, what in the world did that crazy Canadian say? So anyway, how many of you, anybody here at all heard me speak before? I'm sorry, I didn't want to let you down twice, but there is a couple, so we're all right. So so I met with Pat and Spags, oh man, must have been 2-3 months ago, and he said, what do you want to speak about? Or they both asked me, what's been on your mind, what's been on your heart lately that you wanted to share? And if you didn't know before, entrepreneurship's one of my passions, because I believe that it's important to live the life you want to live, be able to do what you want, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. And one of the things that have done that for us has been entrepreneurship. But in order to get there, you got to kill the poverty mindset. So I've given this presentation at a couple different places, and sometimes I call it murder the poverty mindset, sometimes I call it pulling the plug on the poverty mindset. But when it comes down to it, it's about getting your mind right. It's about growing, for us, growing up in a place where poverty was just the way of life. And I don't mean, so when we get into this, I don't mean poverty as in poor. I mean expecting little from yourself or expecting nothing from yourself because of where you grew up. So I'm going to share a little bit of a story, where I came from, what we're up to, where we, you know, where we live, and why we ended up moving all the way across the country to get our heads on straight. So anybody here live in a small town? Okay, most, yeah. No, at least 400 or 500 people. Okay, well, way back when, whenever you live in a small town, the first thing you do, everybody has a city they go to, right? So it's like, hey, we're going to the city. And that could be, if you live in a town of 20 people, it could be a city of 50 people or 500, whatever it is. We always played this game in my family where if we were going to the city, we tried not to tell anybody. Because you know what would happen if you're going to the city? Hey, can you, yes, can you, yeah, you know, can you pick up a bottle? I hope I'm not yelling into this thing, but can you pick up a box of Minute Rice? That was always my favorite. My mother-in-law would say, could you pick me up a 75-pound box of Minute Rice from Costco? So that was bad enough. But what would end up happening quite often is somebody would be like, hey, you know what? I went on Facebook Marketplace. You know where this goes. Could you pick this up for me? So I eventually learned I'm not going to pick things up. I'm saying, you can come along with me and you can pick it up yourself. So we were going out of town one day. We've been on the road about 2 hours. And this is a relative who will remain nameless. You'll understand why in a minute. And I'm watching this person have a great conversation with this lady that she had to pick stuff up from. And they look like they're having a grand old time. And they go on for 10 or 15 minutes. Finally, we get back in the truck and we start driving off. I said, that looked like he had a really nice conversation. And the person looked at me and has this kind of funny look on their face. I'm trying to figure out, why are they so grumpy? They look right hateful. Lady, the person in the truck with me says, you know what? That lady, her and her husband built their own excavating business. And they're independently wealthy. I was thinking, well, that's a pretty good thing. They're getting grumpier and sour look on their face as we go along. And you know what? They have 3 condos, 2 in the big cities in Alberta, 1 down in Florida. It's like, okay, why is that a bad thing? And then from there, she proceeds to say, when her husband died, she had all the money she ever needed to take care of. And I'm trying to figure out why this is a bad thing. And the person in the truck looks next to me and they get the most sour, gross look on their face. And they said, oh, must be nice to be that lucky to have those kind of businesses. Right. They weren't lucky. Oh, yes, you're right. So you're going to find out that in my Telegram group with the workshop podcast, must be nice is a mantra. We use it as in we like to bug each other and bust each other a little bit to anytime somebody does something good, people always say must be nice. So I want to tell you a little story about a little boy. He grew up down south. And he was...
This is the must be nice presentation.
Yes. What part of must be nice don't you understand? Must be nice, I'm up here. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, it is, darling. All right, so there's a little boy. He grew up down in the south in the 40s. His dad was an alcoholic. He was a barber. Not that there's anything wrong with being a barber. But he died when he was like 5 years old. His mother was an assistant or a substitute teacher, and she didn't have the money to take care of him. So she sent him off to live with the even more poor grandmother because the grandmother felt bad for him, and she tried to do absolutely everything she could to make him successful. But she had no money. He grew up in the dead poor South with a father who was an alcoholic who died when he was too young, a mother who didn't want anything to do with him, and a grandmother who tried but couldn't help him. So if there was ever somebody in the world that could have embraced the poverty mindset and said, you know what, I don't stand a chance. I'm just going to live the way I am. I'm going to live in the must be nice mentality. It would have been that little boy. So we're going to leave that little boy right there while we talk, and we'll get back to him in a little while. So my wife and I, anybody know the easiest way to go broke? Come on, somebody must know. Close. What comes after marriage?
Divorce.
Well, that, okay, I was going to... I was going to say have kids, but that is very, yes, that is very true. I've been lucky enough not to have to do that. But so anyway, we got married in our mid-20s. Shortly thereafter, we had three kids. At the time, we were living off of $1,100 a month, which, you know, I mean, to a little kid, that sounds like a lot of money, but when you have three little kids running around, you're not in good shape. The problem was, is that we didn't know what we didn't know. We had embraced the poverty mindset. My wife grew up in a family who just didn't have a good outlook on life, and I didn't realize mine was about the same way. We wanted to do better for our lives, and I worked at a hardware store, and I hated it. I was absolutely miserable. So one day I came home and I told my wife, we need to do something better. So I took a job. I went on the internet, the type of thing you did in 2007. You looked for another job, and I found another job doing exactly what I was doing, but all the way across the country. And we knew we had to do something better. So we sold everything we had except what would fit into a 2003 Dodge Grand Caravan, and we drove from Nova Scotia to Saskatchewan, which would be like from Maine to Montana. And I thought, hey, this is it. We're doing something great for the family. 6 months later, we moved back home with our tail between our legs, failed miserably. So we didn't live happily ever after on that one. I worked, again, at the hardware store. That's all I ever knew, so I went back there. And I kept telling my wife, we got to do better. We got to do better. But we didn't know even what better was. And I had a guy that I worked with. His name was Dean. And I used to joke about him. I'm like, why does Dean work so hard? And then I was like, hey, maybe he's got it figured out. He would work all day at the hardware store. And then at night, he had the contract to clean the hardware store. And if that wasn't bad enough, when he was done there, he'd go home and work at the convenience store that him and his wife owned all day, every day. They made a lot of money doing that, but they had to work their butts off in order to do it. I'm going to wave right there so she gets a good pick. No, I'm just kidding. So eventually I thought, you know what? I should do what Dean's doing. So again, we knew we had to change, but we didn't know what we needed to do to get a little bit more success in our life. So what did we do? The fire department was looking for somebody to do the cleaning. So I'd never done a cleaning contract. I didn't even know what was involved in putting together a cleaning contract before. Hours putting in this bid to do the cleaning contract. I handed it in. The day goes by. I don't hear anything. I'm like, man, I really thought I nailed that. 3 days later, I find out the fire chief's niece gets the contract instead of us. It's like, we knew we needed to do something. We just didn't know what we needed to do. So what do people do when you, the sign of success, you buy a house, right? At least you try to. We didn't have enough money to buy a house, but we did it anyway. So rule of advice, don't buy a house when you can barely afford the down payment for it. So we bought a 130-year-old home that was falling down around us. Do you guys remember that movie Money Pit with Tom Hanks? Yeah, they paid us for the right star story. So it was bad. We couldn't afford. Yeah, it was. Thank you. Must be nice. Say it. What was that? Must be nice. Thank you. It was nice for a few days until we realized we were in over our head. We had an oil tank out there. You heat your home with furnace oil. It was leaking. It was 20 years past expiration date. We had an insurance company breathing down our neck. We tried to do something, but we weren't doing it right. So eventually, we were even more broke. And what do they say? You can't dig yourself out of a hole. What do you have to do? Put the shovel down first? Quit digging. Thank you, darling. I like you. You are helping me out a lot. So, all right. So what did we do? My in-laws lived in Alberta. You guys know where Alberta is? If you don't, it's closer to Santa Claus than we are now. Let's put it that way. So they said, hey, if you can afford the plane ticket to come out, we will get you a job in the oil patch. You can stay on our fold-up cot in the living room of our mobile home for as long as you need to. And I said, I'd love to, but I don't have any money to pay for the plane ticket. So they said, well, how much do you have? I said, half. They said, well, we'll lend you the money. So they lent me the money. They bought a throwaway. I mean, it was the tiniest little cot, and it meant the world to me. They just had a newborn baby. My mother-in-law was living with them. In a house that should sleep three, we had five plus a newborn. So I found a job, and 5 months later, I forgot to mention, I left my wife and her and our five kids at the time, including newborn twins, in a 130-year-old home by herself. I know, she forgave me, I promise. And from there, we did okay. We got the money, we started getting money in, and we lived happily ever after. Anybody believe that? No, okay, good, thank you, because I'm lying. So let's keep going. So anyway, we finally get our feet under us. We start paying off our old bills, and we say, you know what? We need to treat ourselves. We're going to take a trip to Vegas. So my wife, I know why. I don't know why. We just did. See, why are you laughing at me? See, she doesn't even know. She thinks it's going to be funny, and I'm going to disappoint her. So we're okay. All right, so we planned a trip to Vegas, and it was going to be awesome. So we take 2 extra days off on our vacation so my wife can put together some stuff, and her boss calls her and said, hey, could you pop by for a minute? We just got a small meeting. Okay, sure, yeah. I mean, I'm on my vacation, but I'm a team guy, team girl. So they call her in and lay her off on the spot. It was perfect, actually. But we went and we enjoyed ourselves anyway. But that was the start of the collapse of the worldwide price of oil. Within a year, I was laid off as well, and we're in worse financial shape than we'd been before we moved to Alberta. So I thought, I need to hang my shingle. I need to start a business. I started the handyman business because that's all I needed to know. And we lived happily ever after. Anybody believe me? Okay, thank you. All right, you're going to realize I lie a lot while I'm up here. So I started the business, and I didn't charge enough. I didn't find enough customers. The one thing I knew I didn't want to do was go back to working in a hardware store. So I immediately went back to working in a hardware store because that's what I knew. But what I did at that point was I took some time and I kept working that business. I didn't shut it down. I worked evenings. I've told this story so many times, but I would clear snow at 6 a.m, 10 o'clock lunch, coffee break, lunch break, afternoon coffee break. I worked my butt off for a year till I was able to walk away and do that full time. That was 6 years ago. I just sold that business because it was successful enough now that I split it into a handyman and a property management business. My content creation is kind of done quite well over the last little while, and we invested in a daycare, which we're opening up a second one. So we're doing okay, finally. I don't want to say we lived happily ever after, because I brought you up to date, and I don't want to jinx it, but we're doing pretty darn good, so nah, it's all right. I'm not up here to toot my own horn. I'm up here to share with you that everybody can make their life a little bit better, no matter where you start. It's not about, everybody wants to say, well, you don't know where I grew up. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you're right. I don't know where you grew up, and that's okay. What I want you to be able to do is improve your station in life just a little bit, or a lot. I don't care. I'd love for you to call me up and say, you know what? I'm going to run you out of business, Tim, because I'm going to be so damn successful that I'm going to have the best property management business in Provost, Alberta. Nobody wants to move there anyway. It's okay. But that's what I want to hear. I want people to be successful. So what in the world is the poverty? See, I'm going to keep doing this once in a while. So what in the world is the poverty mindset? What does it mean? It's not just changing your mind. I've been told a lot. They're like, oh, yeah, you're just talking about the name it and claim it gospel, or, you know, good feelings. If you believe it, it'll happen. No. What I'm telling you is you got to change your mind in order to get your mindset right. That's only the first step. What that is deciding I'm going to do something, realizing you need to do something, and then doing all the hard work after it. It's just the first step. I'm not telling you, hey, if I just realize things are going to be better, they're going to be better, because they're not. You got to do it too. You got to do the work. So you guys heard, I got a podcast called Workshop Radio, whatever. And so we have, Jules is in there, I think. We have a Telegram group, which is the best community I've ever been a part of. And we will end up sharing things in there. Somebody the other day wanted to know, hey, how long does 2-stroke oil last? And I'm like, I don't know, but I can look it up for you. You know, and we would share experience, just the silliest thing. Somebody will say, hey, I'm running a business. And we'll bust them up a little and say, you're not charging enough. You need to charge more. And they'll come back and tell us, yeah, I am. So that's good. And it's the way that we encourage one another. So I'm laying in bed in a hotel. I don't know. This was 4 or 5 months ago. And a lady named Tori, she went through some real rough stuff in life. Her husband treated her poorly. This is all public. She shared her story before. And she says, hey, Tim, you know that John Willis character? Anybody here know John Willis? Okay, we got 1, 2, 3. All right. Well, he is a guy who has helped me beyond belief. He is a dude that will tell you like it is, and if you don't listen to him, he won't tell you again. So she said, he talks about the poverty mindset all the time, but he talks so darn fast, I don't know what he says. I'm like, and you don't think I do? So anyway, so she said, what is the poverty mindset? And I realize I'm laying in bed, and I'm giving myself a great case of some kind of strained thumb ligament, typing away 8-page responses to her, because I realized my wife and I had lived through it. We went through the roughest times. We dug ourselves out. Not because of luck, but because of what we did. And so I started sharing with her, and I said, you know, the poverty mindset's like a great painting. I can't tell you what makes a great painting, but I can tell you when I see it. And so I started explaining to her, and I got a really good friend. His name's Brian. He's actually down working on our property in Tennessee for me right now. And he goes, you know, Tim, must be nice. There we go. I got to laugh. Anyway, no, what he really said was, you know, Tim, if you guys hadn't killed the poverty mindset, you wouldn't be sitting in the hotel in the middle of the week being able to do exactly what you want to do, live the life you want to live. He said, you know, you wouldn't be able to choose what customers you work for the last 3 years and not basically ignore the entire COVID thing if you hadn't killed the poverty mindset. So what is the poverty mindset? Well, we got to go negative before we go positive. So can you guys forgive me for being negative for a couple of minutes? Okay. We all awake out there yet or what? Okay. All right. Good. Perfect. All right. So what I need to do is point and show you so that when your ears hear it, you'll understand what the must be nice mindset is. And one of the first things is, it's just the way it is here. Whenever you tell somebody, hey, you know, or whenever somebody says, I want to do something great with my life, I can't. It's just the way it is here. It's where I grew up. Do you guys know the modern philosopher Marshall Mathers? Anybody know him? Eminem? Yeah, yeah. There we go. All right. There's a movie he did quite a few years ago, and it was called 8 Mile. It was actually a pretty darn good movie. But in there, there's a line that I always loved, and he said, man, he says, you got to stop living up here and start living down here. In other words, accept the poverty. It's always going to be like that. It's just the way it is here. When somebody says that, run, run, run. I just want what I'm entitled to. Now, I used to say, I just want what I'm owed. And everybody would say, what did he just say? I don't understand that. I think he's speaking Canadian. So my dad spent his entire life working in the grocery industry. And his boss, the eventual owner of the business, his name was Harry. And Harry had a brother, and they both grew up in a very poor community, like way poorer than where I lived, and it was poor enough. And Harry started out as a bag boy at the grocery store, and then from there, he became produce manager, and then grocery manager, and then store manager, and eventually bought the store. And then he sold that store, built a bigger store, added the piece on, and one day, a worldwide grocery, national grocery conglomerate comes up to him and said, hey, we want to buy, we are going to buy you out. In other words, you don't have much of a choice. Give me a price. So Harry went home that night and he said, well, he thought up the highest price he ever thought he would get for it. And then he doubled it. And then he gave the price to the company the next morning and they said, yes, within 3 minutes. He said, darn, I should have doubled it again. That's Harry. He grew up in a very, very poor family. His brother Stanley grew up in the same home with the same parents in the same town with the same poverty mindset. Stanley worked in the grocery store. Stanley tried to open a convenience store. Stanley would smoke more cigarettes and scratch more tickets than he would pay his bills. Stanley always looked at his brother and thought, he'll help me out. He'll help me out. Must be nice. Must be, thank you. There we go. So one day, Stanley said, Harry, I need some more money. And Harry said, I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore. You won't help yourself. So he got, yeah, sorry, sorry. Yeah, so you won't help yourself. So we cut him off. And one day, Dad's sitting in the break room with Stanley. And Stanley looks at him. He says, I just don't understand, he said. I just want what I'm entitled to. Why can't Harry help me a little bit? Where does that mindset come from? That is the poverty mindset, thinking that you are owed something more that you didn't earn. Thinking that someone else should help you when it's all your fault, when you are the one that needs to build your own station in life. How about this one? If I was born rich. If I was born rich, everything would be fine, right? No, thank you. All right. And remember, this isn't about where anybody is born or isn't born. It's about improving your station in life. For some reason, Hollywood has been, I love this term, obsessed with Nepo babies lately. Anybody know what a Nepo baby is? No, I didn't either, but I seen the word and thought it was really strange. In other words, it's people who get the jobs because their mom or dad had that job. I know, I learned. See, you can go home and you can be like, I don't know what that Canadian talked about, but I learned a new word today. So anyway, if I was born rich. So people say, if I just born rich. Somebody said to me one day, you know, that Jeff Bezos got a $100,000 loan from his parents to start a business. And I said, okay, so he turned $100,000 into $100 billion. So I'll give you a $1,000 loan and you can turn it into a $100 million business. I don't care about anybody else. Just stop making excuses. Don't say, hey, I wish I was rich. Doesn't matter. You can build your riches. And your idea of riches might be, I'm going to hang out on the homestead and I'm going to start a farm-to-table business or I'm going to start a flipbook business and I'm going to go around and make all kinds of money making people laugh or smile. you know, or I'm gonna renovate an entire old home just simply because it makes me happy. That might be your idea of riches. But it doesn't matter where you came from, because all that does is give you permission to be lazy. How about I would be a millionaire if? This one's always good. There's an old timer in my town, and he always claims that he invented something. I think it's a grain loader, and it has all these flexible buckets that come down. And he, every time I see him, you know, I invented that. I'm like, okay. He says, if I'd have just patented, I'd be a millionaire today. Again, there's the poverty mindset. Always thinking, if. How about why not? Or how about how can I? When you're always looking in the past and saying, you know, things could have been better if, you're never going to look to the future and do better things. And of course, must be nice. That's the one you always look for. And I always hate when people say this is a true story, but I'm going to say this. This is a true story. So we were on our way to another event quite a few months ago. And my wife's like, I need a Diet Pepsi. I'm going to go into the gas station. She goes into the gas station. She had just heard me do this presentation the night before. And the lady behind the counter is in a really bad mood. And she sees a guy come in a BMW, and he's getting gas. And she looks at my wife, and she goes, must be nice. So that made my day. She even remembers it, right? So, and one more that I really like is the world's against me. In other words, it doesn't matter what I do, the world's always against me. So my wife gave me a warning when we got married. She said, before you marry me, you need to know something. She said, you need to know about the Cooper curse. I said, the Cooper curse, what is that? Well, you need to know that my wife's maiden name is Cooper. She said, my entire childhood, my entire so far adult life, anytime something's going good for a Cooper, it always, the floor always falls out from underneath of them. I didn't want to believe her, but when she got laid off on the first day of her vacation, I started believing her just a little bit. In other words, the world's against me. We don't believe that anymore because we believe we make our own luck. But when you hear it, the world's against me, I just can't do it. That is a taste of the poverty mindset. And what do all those words, all those phrases do for people? They give us permission to be lazy. You don't understand. It's like, it's just that way where I grew up, right? You don't understand if I was rich. In other words, whatever I do, I don't control my own destiny. So I might as well not do anything at all. I'm going to sit at home and do whatever I want to do. But since I'm not in control of my destiny, I guess I get to keep doing what I'm doing. Because change is uncomfortable. Anybody remember when you're in high school, you get those growing pains? I used to have to lay on the couch and have my legs put up because they hurt so bad. Because growth hurts. When you want to change, when you want to do something great, it's uncomfortable. It means you got to get up. You got to do something you're not used to. It means you got to start a new business during the middle of a pandemic, doesn't it? That kind of stuff. Uncomfortable things. But that's how we build the life we want to live. All right, two more words, and then we'll end on the negative stuff and we'll head into the positive stuff. But so once you've realized, hey, I use these, and for us, it was the world is against us. That was our favorite excuse. Everybody has one, and when you realize them, that's the first step. You're like, okay, you're like the lion in a cage. You know, a lion who's always lived in the zoo doesn't know he's miserable. He thinks he's happy because that's all he's ever known, right? And then one day the zookeeper says, hey, buddy, let's go out in the woods and play. Or wherever, as long as he can't, you know, get small children and devour them or anything like that. So they go out in the woods and they run free. He's free all day and he goes everywhere he wants. And then, at the end of the day, the zookeeper says, all right, buddy, let's go back to the cage. You want to see something miserable? You want to see a lion who's had his eyes opened and seen a taste of freedom and then go back to the cage? Look at somebody who's all of a sudden realized, I've been living in the poverty mindset, and then they go back to their job that they hate, or they have to go back to living the way they are. Once your eyes are open, you're hooped. I've ruined you. So now that I've made you know about the poverty mindset, if anybody's out there struggling with it, you're ruined now because you'll never go back. So the next thing, you guys remember Bugs Bunny cartoons? Yeah. And whenever he was trying to come up with an idea, Bugs, of whether something was good or bad, little angel would show up on one shoulder, little devil on the other, right? So that's what this is like. These are the words, I don't and I can't. I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough energy. Well, guess what, Buttercup? Neither do I and neither does anybody else. But anybody who wants to do something great with their life, you have to find it. You do. I'm not making any excuses whatsoever. It's just simple as that. If you want to build something great, you have to be obsessed with it. You have to spend the time, the energy. figure out a way to make the money. I'm not telling you to, you know, go mortgage your home or anything like that, but you got to figure out a way to make it work. You say, I don't have the time to start a business. Oh, okay, that's cool. If it's not important, an old pastor of mine years ago always said that folks always find the time for the things that are important to them. And if you want to build a business or you want to do something absolutely great, you got to find a way. It might be getting up an hour early in the morning or an hour late at night. For me, everybody hates this when I make this example, but you would think as a Canadian, I'd watch hockey, right? I don't. I'm a Blue Jays fan, dyed-in-the-wool baseball fan. So I know it's weird, a Canadian who likes baseball. I wanted to build a YouTube channel, and I didn't have the time to do it. All right, how long's a baseball game? Well, they used to be 3 hours, 162 of them a year, 480 some hours a year. So I stopped watching baseball. Do I miss it? Yeah, sometimes. Not this year when the Jays lost out in two straight games in the wild card series. But yeah, I miss it sometimes. But I turned those 500 hours into a YouTube channel, a podcast that now makes me enough money that we could live off of if my family had no other income coming in. Not an excuse. I'm not telling you to give up baseball, football, college sports, whatever it happens to be. I'm just telling you, if you need to find the time, you'll find the time. Simple as that. But that old word, I don't, and I can't. I can't afford it. A good buddy of mine, Joel Riles, if there was ever a dude who should have had the excuse of I'm just going to embrace the poverty mindset, it would be him. He's told this story, so it's not my story to tell, but he ran into some things in life that completely destroyed his business. And if there was ever a dude who could have had the excuse of, I'm just going to stay here and never do anything great again, well, you know what he did? He rebuilt his dog training business. That dude is killing it now. He's a sponsor of my podcast. He sells very expensive protection dogs. And he built, like a phoenix in the ashes, he rebuilt everything. And he could have just sat there and said, I can't, I don't. I don't have the energy. I don't have the motivation to do it anymore because life has just beat me up, chewed me up, and spit me out. Well, it's done that to everybody. So we have to, you have one of two choices. So we're gonna flip it. This is where we go positive from the negative. So I don't, I can't. Those are negative sounding words, right? That hard T at the end of it, can't, don't. Sounds like must be nice. Oh no, we'll stop with that for now. How about how can I? And this was one that Joel taught me. He said in the military, you'd come to an obstacle, and I don't and I can't wasn't a word, wasn't even an option. It was, hey, there's a big boulder here. How can I climb over it? How can I walk around it? How can I blow right through it? One day in business, I had what I like to call the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Alexander, yes. And it was a bad day. It was a very, very snowy day. My snowblower broke. My four-wheeler with a plow on it broke. The four-wheel drive on my new truck broke. My backup truck had a dead battery. There's probably about seven other things I could tell you, but I've blocked most of them out of my memory at this point. I went inside and I was ready to give up. I was ready to go, I don't, I can't. My wife's not that lady, thank goodness. I'm sitting there trying to commiserate with her and tell her how miserable my life is and how I'm gonna give up the business, and she's sitting there on her phone like this. And I'm like, are you even paying attention to me? She goes, all right, get up off your butt and go get a snowblower. I said, I can't, we're storm stayed. I can't drive to the nearest city. We literally cannot get on the road. She goes, I found you one on Facebook. There's an old guy has one in his shop. He's never used it, it's brand new, go pick it up. So instead of sitting there, being a whiner like I was, she looked at that boulder and she says, how can I? And she made it work. Thank goodness I have her, because I wouldn't be up here talking to you today if I didn't. Ask yourself, is it worth it? That's the next one. How can I and is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because whatever you want to do is going to be hard. Anything you want to do is going to be hard. Anything that's worth it is going to be hard. So remember, you got to find the time. You got to find the energy. I had Joel on my show a while back, and I said to him, I said, how do you find motivation to do what you do? He said, I don't find motivation. He says, I get up and do it, and then motivation finds me. And I know that might be cliche, but it's absolutely true. It's what you do. It's how you do it. So when I grew up in my hometown, and you'll notice there's a lot of stories in here about my hometown, but that's what I know. That's where I embraced the poverty mindset, and that's how I had to murder it eventually. There was a family who was, every town has a family, right? A very poor family that everybody knows. I ended up being best friends with this lady's son. We were really good friends. I never once stepped foot in his house because it was always so dirty. They didn't have any money. They didn't have running water. The whole works, right? They had four kids in that family, two sons, two daughters. And the oldest daughter embraced the poverty mindset just like the mom. She's still in my hometown, and if you saw her, you'd think she was her mother. The next daughter, she did a little bit. She got a job, but she basically stuck around and did the same thing. Then the youngest son, he found himself a girlfriend. He moved across the country. He got a job. He did really good for himself. And the oldest son, he was my best friend in high school. He met a girl. He got married. He bought a home. He moved out of the province and has a great job. He's doing incredible for himself. So let me ask you why. Why can four people who grew up in the exact same family, two of whom are going to embrace the poverty mindset and live just like their mom did, and two of them did incredible things with their lives? Because you have the choice. Doesn't mean it's easy. It might be simple, but it sure isn't easy. So, now we know what the poverty mindset is. Now we know what our brain's going to tell us when we're like, I need to fix this. You're going to have that little devil on your shoulder and you're going to punch him, you know, knock him right off. And the cool thing about, the poverty mindset is, once you become aware of it, it's going to keep coming back. And it's like, you know, you took him out in the street and you beat him to death with a baseball bat. And then you get a call from the hospital and said, he's on life support. Every so often it's going to jump back up and you need to run into the hospital and pull that plug as quick as you can. Simple as that. I told you about Tori. She messaged me, I don't know, 4 or 5 nights ago. I was putting together the finished touches on this presentation. And she said, hey, Tim. She said, it's back. And I said, what? She said, the poverty mindset. I've gone through some really rough times. I said, can I share this? She goes, yeah. She said, I embraced the abundance mindset like you told me. And then some things happened in my life. And all of a sudden, I found myself right back to where I was. And it's not perfect. I'm not where I need to be yet. But I'm curb stomping it every day. That's what you have to do. Because it's going to come back. No matter what. And that's, people say, you don't know where. You just don't understand. This is the way it is where I was born. You don't know how my parents treated me. It's not fair. No, it's not fair. I get it. We all have things. It's all about improving your station in life. And once you become aware of it. So what do we do from there? What do we do? Well, the first thing is, get excited for other people. This is what I love. So when you want to be successful, if you want to point somebody at me and say, hey, is this person going to be successful or not? You want to look at them and say, how do they respond to other people's success? Because if they say, must be nice, thank you, there's a good chance that they're still embracing the poverty mindset. But if they say good for you, or if they get a big smile on their face, if they're like, Chuck's still here? Chuck Peoples? No, he's probably busy selling medical gear back there. So when Chuck comes to me and he says, hey, I sold 2 great big medical kits this weekend. It's awesome. I'm like, good for you, brother. I want you to be so successful that you can retire and forget about who I am. That's what I want. Get excited for other people. Even if you don't feel like getting excited for other people, do it. What do they say? Fake it till you make it. And that's what it comes down to. You absolutely fake it till you make it, because you're not going to be, if you've always been the world's against me, ho hum, I'm never going to be good, then it's going to take a while to get excited for other people. Some people are born with that and it's great, but if you're not, you can fake it until you embrace it. Because I used to, when people would come to me and say, hey, Tim, you know, I might say out loud, good for you, but inside I'd be like, oh, must be nice. So if you wonder how to embrace a poverty mindset, first thing is just start getting excited for other people. The next thing you need to understand is it's all your fault, okay? It's all your fault, and that's all right. It doesn't mean what's happened to you is your fault, because it's not. You can't control what the world's done to you. But you know what is your fault? How you respond to it. And we have to embrace it. That's not something that anybody in this world talks about at all anymore. Everybody wants to deflect responsibility to wherever you were born, where you live, how your parents treated you. It's not my fault because mom wouldn't give me a TV dinner when I was 7 years old and now I need 4 years worth of therapy to fix it. But it's absolutely the case. It is your fault, and that's okay. What your fault is how you choose to respond to when the bad things happen. When you're at the consumer electronics show and all of a sudden you realize your business is gonna, you know, not work for a while, you'd be like, it's okay, we have beef. And then we turn it into a beef business, right? Anybody know that? I think he's falling asleep under there, but it's okay. There, I got a smile, we're all right. So get excited for other people. Embrace that it's your fault. Another one, bad stuff happens. It happens all the time. And it's okay. Yeah, I used to be the type of guy that when bad stuff would happen, I would just want to curl up in a hole and die. I remember one time when I had my business, I give, you know that price, the price that you give somebody when you don't want to do the job? A guy came to me, he's like, hey, could you do this? How are you guys doing down there? You having fun? Oh, it's okay. You're doing good. So one day a guy asked me, he said, can you give me a price on this bathroom renovation? And I thought, what's the highest price I could ever give him? I said, $500. He said, sold. Start tomorrow. I was in over my head, and I didn't know what I was doing. It was so bad, I didn't know what I was doing. And I cut into the vent pipe one time at this house, thinking I was cutting into the drain line, and the whole thing just goes whoom, straight down. I was like, I went home, and I sat on the couch, and I told Becky, I said, nah, I'm quitting. I'm done. They can sue me. They can take me for everything they are, but I'm not stepping foot back in that house. Bad stuff happens. I did it to myself. I ended up paying a plumber to fix my mess, and it worked out, but that was not a good day. Bad stuff happens. Stop listening to the world. Anybody here like to listen to the news? Nah, it doesn't do you any good, does it? 100%. Just stop listening the best you can. Listen to things that build you up. Listen to good audiobooks, you know? Read the Bible if that's what you're into. Whatever it is that it takes to inspire you, do it. Talk to other people. Surround yourself with the type of people. If you're the top person in your friend group, it might be time to find new friends, because you should be crawling. You should be pulling yourself up. You should be surrounding yourself with people that you want to be like. And if you've got the best people in the world, well, that's cool too. But surround yourself with the type of people. Instead of going to the bar with the bar flies that sit around like, you know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and all they ever want to do is complain about how life is, you're in the wrong place. If you go to the gun shop, and all they want to do is complain about the last election or whatever it is, you're in the wrong spot, because that ain't going to do you any good. You want to do something with your life? Surround yourself with people that say, hey, how can we make more money? How can we help more people? How can we build a business that allows me to come and go and do what I want to do when I want to do it? And as we're talking, I hope you're getting ideas of how this is going to work for you guys, because that's the beauty of what I do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just hopefully inspire you to do something that you're already thinking about. Just don't go home and quit your job and say that guy from Canada that told me it's okay to quit my job, honey. Because I've already had 3 of those calls this week, and I need to get a call screener, so let's do that. Change where you spend your time. You know, I've told this story, I don't know how many times I've told this story, but if you want to do something great, if you want to build something great, you need to put the time into it. So you want to start yourself a business, you found yourself 10 hours a week that you can do. That's cool, great. But you don't have any customers yet. So what are you going to do? Go to YouTube University. Learn how to clean windows. Learn how to clean gutters. Learn how to detail vehicles. Spend that 10 hours. If you've earmarked yourself 10 hours a week to build the life you want to live, you damn well better spend those 10 hours on something that's building the life you want to live. So change where you spend your time. Put it into productive things. Take risks. Sometimes I insert an expletive there, but I'm going to leave that one out this time. So my wife, I never met her grandmother, but her grandmother basically raised her. And she was a child of the Depression. Didn't have a lot of money. And when they got married, she got married to her husband. She managed to scrounge up $500 over a few years and put it in a cookie jar. And one day she came home, cookie jar was empty. She thought, did my husband go to the bar? Did he go to the horses? Where did this $500 go? And finally he came home, and he was excited, but not real excited, because he knew he had to go see Gene. And if Gene had the same attitude that my wife has, I'm sure he was rather scared. So he comes home and she says, where in the world did that money go? He says, I got to tell you, honey. He said, I bought a business. Anything she imagined, it wasn't I bought a business. He went out and he bought, him and his buddy went halves on a drywalling business. $500 a piece. They turned that drywall business into property. They turned that drywall business into a bowling alley, into a campground. And when he died unexpectedly, 25 years later, Jean was independently wealthy and she was taken care of, because he asked for forgiveness instead of permission. Sometimes you have to do that. Now, I don't want to get a mean call from a husband or a wife, but sometimes we have to take risks. We got to invest in ourselves, guys. That's what it is. I said, when you find time, figure it out. If you want to learn a skill, invest in the time to do it. If you want to build a business, so many people, I talked to somebody here, and I cannot remember who it was, but they said, I've got a lot of great ideas for a business, but they all cost money. What do I do? Start a business that doesn't cost you any money. Joel, again, I love him. He has so many good stories. His daughter came to him one day, said, "Dad, I want to start breeding dogs just like you." He goes, "Good." She said, "Can I have a loan?" He said, "No. What I will do, though, is give you enough money to start a lemonade stand." She said, "Lemonade stand? That's not what I want to do." He goes, "Yeah, but you don't have the money to buy a dog. So start something that doesn't cost you any money or very, very little money." That's what I did with my business, was I did services. I would do things that nobody else wanted to do, that took no skill, that took no investment, and I would make the money. And eventually, by charging people $100 to clean up dog poop, literally dog poop. So in Canada, we have this thing called snow. Do you guys get that here? All right, well, sometimes, all right. So what ends up happening is we have snow and snow and snow, and dogs keep going out and doing their business, right? And so as it melts in the spring, it's like excavating for dinosaur bones. So I would charge people, Jules liked that one, thank you. So I would charge people like $100 to go do it because they didn't want to do it, and I could do it in an hour, and I made $100 an hour, which is great. Eventually, we made enough money from that to buy and build a daycare from scratch. We put quite a bit of money into that. We couldn't have afforded that if we'd have tried to start with that first. So I turned dog poop into a daycare, I guess, something like that. That sounds really bad. Maybe I should have hired the kids to clean up the dog poop for me. Maybe that's what I really should have done, but... What I love about investments is it implies a return down the road. So it's just like building a YouTube channel. It's like building a business. It's like building anything. You spend your time, and this is where it is. And I can't do this with two hands, and I usually do, but I have a mic in the other one, and you won't be able to hear me if I do. So you're going to invest the same amount of time every day, right? Like this. And at first, the return on investment is going to be like this, flatlined. But what's kind of cool is you're going to keep using that same amount of time in your business. And eventually, as you figure things out and you do more things that make you more money and stop doing the things that don't, your investment starts going like this. So what do you have? You have a straight investment of time and eventually a nice big exponential curve on return. And that's what it is. Anything you want to do that's worth doing is going to take investment. It's going to take energy. It's going to take time. It's going to take getting up early in the morning and doing it simply because you don't feel like it and you're going to do it anyway. And you're gonna go flatline. It's like building a YouTube channel. You're gonna get nothing. The only person's watching your videos is your mother and your wife, and even they give up on you. And then eventually, all of a sudden, people wanna watch your stuff. All of a sudden, people wanna buy whatever you're offering because you figured it out. You've made all the mistakes, but you've kept investing all along, and eventually, it goes just like this. But it doesn't change overnight. It's always, always gonna be a struggle. Even when you think you've got it all figured out, it's still gonna be a struggle, but that's okay. I was at the hardware store the other day. I used the term other day, and it could have been 3 years ago, but I'm just gonna say the other day because I don't need to explain it. Anyway, there's a lady there. She's my favorite clerk. She always treats me well, and we got talking. And she goes, "Did you know I used to be a single mom?" I was like, "I didn't." It's odd to bring that up right now, but anyway, no, we were just talking. She's actually a good friend now. And I thought she'd always been with the gentleman she'd been with. She said, "No, one day I was just sitting at work," and she said, "I remember what it was like being a single mom. I remember being at home with the kids in the apartment, worried the lights were gonna get turned off because I couldn't afford to pay the bill." That took me back to when we were living in that 130-year-old house, and I was working from home at the time, and we were perpetually worried that the power was gonna get shut off because we didn't have the money to pay it. We were thousands of dollars behind in our power bill. And I'm sitting there, I don't know what I was doing that day, but I was home for some reason, and the power truck pulled into the front yard. I was pretty sure that was the day that I'd let my kids down, that they came to shut the power off on us. Turned out they were just there to change a faulty light, but it scared the living daylights out of me. That was what we did, living in the poverty mindset all the time, and I hadn't thought about it for a long time. When we used to go to a hotel, we used to play what we called credit card roulette. We'd have a stack full of credit cards, and we figured maybe one of them would be lucky, and we'd swipe them at the hotel until one of them worked. Every so often, they didn't. I know, it doesn't make sense, does it? Took me years to want to go in and check into a hotel because I had PTSD from that. It was awful because we lived in the poverty mindset. It wasn't anybody else's fault except ours. We made those beds, we lied in them, and we dug ourselves out of them. So that was a tough time. You guys remember the little boy that we set over here in the corner? All right. So if there was ever a dude that could have, should have, would have embraced the poverty mindset. It was that little boy. He had a barber dad. I don't know what I have against barbers, but he had a dad who was a barber, who was an alcoholic, and he died when he was little. He grew up down south. His mother didn't want him. She sent him to live with his grandmother. His grandmother didn't have any money. If there was ever a little boy that could have embraced that poverty mindset, it was him. Now, I did something one day that I wouldn't recommend, all right? I turned on CNN. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, no, I don't recommend it. So, on CNN was that little boy right there, except he was all grown up. That little boy was Morgan Freeman. Anybody know Morgan Freeman? He's the one that when everybody ever asks, who would you like to have narrate the story of your life? I'm Morgan Freeman. I can't do it, but I'll try. So he was being interviewed by a guy named Don Lemon. Anybody know Don Lemon? Doesn't matter if you do. I don't particularly care for the dude, but it doesn't matter. So Morgan Freeman's telling the story of his life and how he grew up down south, poor. And Don Lemon says, yeah, okay. And he gets that smug look on his face. And he looks at him, he says, well, what do you say to people who say, yeah, you just don't understand, it's just that way. I live in poverty, I can't dig myself out of it. What do you say to people who say, well, it must be nice, I can't do it because you don't know how hard it is here. And Morgan Freeman, only the way an 80-year-old man can do, he leans into the camera, he gets his big pearly white smiles on his face. And Don Lemon says, what do you say, Morgan Freeman? And he goes, bullshit. He says, when I go home, when I go back to where I was from, I talk to people all the time and they say, I'd love to do something great with my life. I'd love to do something great, but I don't know what to do. And he goes, well, do it. He goes, but you don't know what it's like here. You don't know what it's like. This is what it's like where I live. I can't fix it. And of course, again, in only the way an 80-year-old man can do, he says, man, a bus leaves every day. And I was like, whoo, that gave me chills, baby. Still gives me chills every time I tell you that, because it's true. I don't know what your bus is. I don't know what it is in your life. Whatever it happens to be, whatever the poverty mindset was, there's a bus that leaves every day for you. Whether your bus is, I want to build a self-reliant homestead. I want to build a community with a bunch of crazy people. I want to bring together three different preparedness festivals to make the world famous preparedness road trip. Whether it's a beef business, whether it's a handyman business that you decide you want to turn into a daycare and then eventually be able to take a 36-day road trip down in the States and travel and make a bunch of Americans laugh. I don't care what it is. There's a bus that leaves every single day for you guys. So I got three words for you when I leave. Anybody know what they are? Must be nice. Thank you, guys. Oh, yes. Yeah, we need to do a video.
How's that, guys? Tall man, Tim. All the way from Canadian.
All the way from Canuckistan. Yes.
Canuckistan.
We're going to do
we got a special treat.
A treat? Oh,
yeah,
cookies?
Us?
Oh, cookies?
It smells like cookies.
It does smell like cookies.
Who's
yeah.
That?
I don't know.
It smells amazing.
I think it's Angie's sun-baked cookies.
Angie, your cookies smell amazing. Are those free? Those are free cookies, right?
Do you want me to do it, or do you want to do it?
I want you to say it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, here, give me the phone. I'll do it, and then, yeah. All right, so we're going to do a promo because I've been doing this Great American Road Trip, and this is the third event. I've got five that I'm going to. This is going to be something we're going to use to promote Midwest Preparedness Festival. So I'm going to look at myself in the camera. We're going to talk about, I want you guys to be as quiet as possible. No, I'm just kidding. So when I turn around, could you make just a little more noise than when I was talking? Pretend like I didn't put you to sleep. Can we do that? Okay, all right, so hold on, here we are. Hey guys, Toolman Tim here with Pat and Spags at the Midwest Preparedness Festival, and we just happened to find our tribe. Who's out here, guys? Make some noise for us!
Yeah! Woo!
Thank you, folks. I appreciate it. You only fell asleep half as much as the last audience, so thank you very much. Do great things. Oh, one more thing. You know what? If you need help, if you need advice, or if you just want me to tell you where to go, no, I'm just kidding. But seriously, you can find me on YouTube, podcast, workshop. I want to hear about the great things you've done. There's somebody here who heard me speak at Prepper Camp 2 weeks ago and went home and organized his shop simply because I told him to. No, because he got inspired to do something great. So I want to hear about it. Tell me what you do. Tell me how to get over something instead of how to get blocked up against it. So thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Toolman Tim.
Thank you, Evan. too. Thanks for coming out, buddy.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, we have one more special treat for you. We're going to do a special event that we did last
year.
For having me. So
I'm not going to steal any of this thunder. And without further ado, we welcome Tag with Let Them Free.
Yes, sweetie.
I wanted to break into your presentation a dozen times because I can relate to most of it. I used to be one of the
Just paid off their mortgage and got free.
Right on. Somebody kicked me in the ass.
Last year we got to give away a free man hat. So if Marvin and Kathy Parks would like to come get their free man hat, congratulations on being free.
To make money. To do what you want to do what you need to do. At the time, it was like buying silver.
Absolutely.
And that one video changed the entire thing.
Good.
I stopped doing the must be nice because somebody would say,
all right, I just that went ends out and the I program for this silver, evening whatever. As far as classes and presentations. Nice. Next is the potluck, so get cooking. I will be selling tickets until 6:29
That's all right.
And give away a schedule for 6:30.
There's
and
so
immediately
many
after
to
that,
what you were
we
saying,
go
I was
to
like,
the Midwest
I could say
Heritage
so
Project's
much.
Famous
and you are such an inspiration.
No,
so,
no, I just want to hear you do
food,
great things, okay?
I will
you
be
keep
back
it up,
all right?
Yes.
Share your story with me, okay?
I will.
All right. I'm heading out in a minute, but I got time for you, brother.
Okay.
Stand over here for a minute.
One of the things I started thinking of.
The potluck is when you see the tables out and the food prepared.
I did fire and EMS for 34 years.
Okay.
I all volunteer.
Okay.
Snow, working 10, 12, 14 hour days in my real job, doing all that. One year I led the league of dead people on EMS runs. Every time I'd go out.
That's not good, is it?
No. Every time I'd go, somebody's dying.
So I shouldn't laugh.
One
I'm
time
sorry.
There was a woman and her dog died in a car wreck.
Both of them.
And,
okay.
It was like just boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
Next call I go out and I'm ready to quit.
Sure.
My aunt.
Your aunt?
Closest sister to my mom. Two blocks from where I lived most of my life.
Okay.
I go there.
You're
she's
welcome.
Having a heart attack.
It's okay.
She says.
You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
No. She says. This fixed everything. You know, the validation isn't always money. The validation comes from results.
You make me cry, brother.
Yeah, it makes me cry. I love her, you know. She said, I knew everything was going to be okay when I saw that angel come up.
Aww.
And, you know, it's not always money.
No, it's not.
Yep.
But it's building the life you want to live.
That's damn right.
What's your name again?
Barry.
Barry?
Montgomery.
Thank
yep.
you. Are you a hugger?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you, bro. Oh, shit.
Ooh.
This is what I do. I'm like a bull in a china shop, you know.
I retired early and I'm trying to skate.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for telling me your story.
You're
so,
welcome.
Appreciate it, brother.
I was going to tell you something I discovered
yes,
recently about myself. I'm not poor, but what I've learned is it's not always that you're poor, but it is always that you suck at being poor.
That's right. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, like, I've been sitting on a bathroom remodel.
Okay.
15 years in the making. And it's time. And it's always been an issue where, well, I don't want to spend $1,000 trying to pay somebody to redo it. No, it's time I learned how to do that crap myself.
Yeah.
So.
Proud of
you. I'm going.
Will you message me and let me?
Done.
Just,
absolutely.
All right.
The flooring done. I got the insulation up.
Okay.
I got a exhaust fan coming. I'm going to do it because I'm tired of sucking at being poor.
Sorry, brother. What's your name?
Rich.
Rich?
Rich?
Okay, big and rich. I'll try to remember.
There you go.
All right,
nice
thank
to meet
you,
brother. I'm so glad to meet you, bud.
Look me up on. Great. Oh, jeez. I would have been good. Look me up on.
Absolutely.
You can pull any of my socials on any video I have.
Excellent.
So, thank you.
You know, it looked like I was sleeping out there, but I wasn't.
That's all right. I have to poke fun. It's okay.
Sun,
I appreciate it. I seen you. Sure. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. What's your name?
Chris.
Chris.
Call me Crispy.
Crispy?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. So.
First name, last name.
Sure. I was Tim. They used to call me Timbit in high school or in junior high. Now, that's a funny joke in Canada, but down here, nobody knows what a Timbit is. It's a donut hole at the local Timbit, Tim Horton shop. So, you know, that's what made me think Krispy Kreme Timbit. You know, I was like, yeah.
I get that all the time.
Oh, thank you. No, that's good. I hope, yeah. This was a great, I'm glad I came. I'm really, this was cool.
I've been here, I don't know, probably last 6 years.
Okay.
Doing this twice a year.
What?
I left my phone. 6 years? 5 years? 6 years?
Probably longer than that.
Oh, yeah, I left my phone. I can't leave that over there either.
Get a while.
It blends to me.
Tell me about it.
You know, I remember when Longo was 6 years.
I wasn't here that early,
but in fairness, that was 17 years ago.
But yeah, I do remember when